thousand years, a million years or more, I'll look upon the crystal sea and walk along the shore. And when mine eyes have drank their fill of all the beauty there, I'll join the throng that marches on. Now the victory is won. Our hearts will never break again. Our tears will all be poured. A thousand years, 10,000 years, a million years. Long before our voices raise in highest praise all over heaven's shore, and one by one we'll lay our crown before the throne, and then the coronation has begun. The King is coming in. We'll sing upon that golden shore and praise Him o'er and o'er. A thousand years, 10,000 years, a million years or
once again today, we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, that being verses 39 through 43. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able once again to open thy precious word and bring another message. As we bring the message today, I pray that you will speak to me and speak through me. Help me to say every word that needs to be said. And Lord, we ask you at this time to save the soul that's nearest hell. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the sixth part of the message entitled, The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. In the weeks prior, we have already given an introduction concerning the sayings of Christ from the cross. As Christ hung upon the cross at Calvary, he spoke seven words or seven sayings. Seven in the Word of God is a numerical number for perfection. My friend, Jesus Christ was perfect in his death as well as his life. Most certainly this is so. Certainly never man spake like this man. Now if you will look at these seven sayings of Christ from the cross, you will find that the first saying of Christ from the cross involves intercession. The second saying involves salvation. The third saying involves affection. The fourth saying involves desolation. The fifth saying involves lamentation. The sixth saying involves jubilation. And the seventh saying involves resignation. Now during this series, we are only dealing with the second saying of Christ from the cross. The second saying of Christ from the cross is set before us here in Luke chapter 23 with verses 39 through 43. Here we find the second saying of Christ from the cross as well as the last two companions of Christ upon this earth before his death. Here we find Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. Now listen, my friend. Jesus Christ being crucified between two thieves was no mere accident, nor was it merely an incident. There are no accidents in a world that is governed by God. God Almighty allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves for various reasons. We have dealt with this in the weeks prior. One of the reasons that God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves was so that in these three crosses and the ones that hung upon them, we would have a representation of the drama of salvation and man's response thereto. Here in Luke chapter 23, in verses 39 through 43, we find three crosses and three things. First, we find the sinner rejecting in verse 39. Second, we find the sinner receiving in verses 40 through 42. And then third, we find the Savior redeeming in verse 43. Now in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verse 39 and with some of verse number 40. For when we went off the air last week, we were dealing with the opening words of this particular verse, that being verse number 40. Here the Word of God tells us about this thief set before us in verses 40 through 42, rebuking the other thief that is mentioned in verse 39. We dealt with this last week. At this time, I want to direct your attention to something else that we find here in verse number 40. Here the Word of God says that the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Notice these words carefully. Dost not thou fear God? My friend, listen. This thief did not say, dost not thou fear punishment? He didn't say that. He didn't say, dost not thou fear punishment? But he said, dost not thou fear God? Listen, my friend, there may be a fear of the consequences of sin without the smallest particle of hatred of sin itself. Today, a lot of people seem to think that if they are sorry about the consequences, they can get by with God about the sin. But my friend, that's not so. There's a lot of difference between sin and the consequences of sin, or the root and the fruit, so to speak. Listen, my friend, when the Spirit of God is at work with an individual's heart, the Spirit of God will produce a sense of sin and the judgment thereof in the sight of God. So we find this thief here in verse number 40 says, dost not thou fear God? Fear God. Listen, my friend, by these words, we clearly find that this thief here, sees God as judge. This thief here sees God as judge. My friend, this thief did not believe that death ended it all. There's a lot of people today that believe that death ends it all. But my friend, that's not so. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. My friend, this thief here, in verses 40 through 42, realized that he was going to die soon. And he realized that after he died, there was coming a time that he was going to stand before God in judgment. In judgment. He realized that he was going to stand before God as judge. Here he sees God as judge. Most certainly this is so. Here we find this thief fearing God, the Eternal One. A lot of people today are concerned about what men think instead of what God knows. A lot of people today are concerned about men's applause instead of God's approval. But here we find this thief in verses 40 through 42, fearing God, the Eternal One. Here we find this thief said, doest not thou fear God? My friend, here we find that the fear of God seized this man. The fear of God gripped this man. Most certainly this is so. And my friend, I might say this right here. Here we find one of the first mark of the Holy Spirit's work in dealing an individual's heart. That being godly fear. Godly fear. My friend, there never has been a case of genuine, God-given, heaven-sent, sky-blue, heartfelt salvation that was not preceded by godly fear. In Proverbs chapter 1, and in verse number 7, the Word of God says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What should I say? There never has been a case of genuine salvation that was not preceded by godly fear. Godly fear. So we find here this thief in verses 40 through 42, fearing God, the Eternal One. Here we find this thief sees God as judge. He sees God as a righteous and sin-avenging God. And my friend, you better fear God. You better fear God, for His judgment is sure. Oh, yes. Now, this time, I want to direct your attention to verse number 41. Here in verse number 41, we find that this thief speaks of two things. Let's read this verse at this time. Hear the Word of God says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Here in verse number 41, this thief speaks of two things. In the first part of the verse, he speaks about the sinfulness of man. And then in the latter part of the verse, he speaks about the sinlessness of Christ. Now this time, let's notice the first part of this verse. Here we find that this thief speaks about the sinfulness of man. He speaks about his own sinfulness. Notice verse 41. Hear the Word of God says, "And we indeed justly," take note of the word justly, "and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward." Notice the words, "due reward." "For we receive the due reward of our deeds." My friend, here we find this thief owned his own guilt. Here we find this thief said, "I am guilty." Here we find that this thief acknowledged the justice of his own condemnation. Here we find this thief said, "I am doing just what I deserve." That's what we find this thief saying here in the first part of verse number 41. He was saying, "I am giving just what I deserve." Here we find this thief owned his own guilt. He recognized that punishment was his due. He recognized that death was his due. He passed sentence upon himself. My friends, here we find that the Holy Spirit of God had caused this thief to see himself as he was, a lost, guilty sinner on the way to hell. My friend, as we bring this message today, I want to ask you the question. I want to ask you the question. Have you that are listening, have you ever recognized your lost condition? Have you ever recognized the fact and owned the fact that you are a sinner, that you are a transgressor, that you deserve hell? And right here I want to say this. My friend, God could send the last one of us to hell and still be God and still be just and right and holy. My friend, you that are listening today, have you ever owned your own guilt? Have you ever passed sentence upon yourself? Have you recognized the fact that punishment is your due, that death is your due, that you deserve hell? My friend, this thief here, in verses 40 through 42, he said, "I am getting just what I deserve." Here we find that this thief realized the fact that the bitter water that he was drinking came from the well of his own digging. Came from the well of his own digging. Now, at this time, I want to direct your attention to the latter part of verse number 41. Here the Word of God says this: "But this man," this has reference to Jesus Christ, "but this man hath done nothing amiss." But this man hath done nothing amiss. Here you find this thief speaks about the sinlessness of Christ. Most certainly he does. Now listen, my friend. As you study the Word of God, you will find that the Holy Spirit is very careful to guard the spotless character of Jesus Christ. As you study the Word of God, you will find that the friends of Christ, the friends of Christ, spoke of Christ's sinlessness. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21 said that Christ knew no sin. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 said that Christ did no sin. And then we find that the beloved John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that in Him, that is in Christ, is no sin. My friend, as we read the Word of God, we find that the friends of Christ spoke of Christ's sinlessness. But not only did His friends speak of His sinlessness, we find that His foes acknowledged His sinlessness. I say this because it was Judas Iscariot that said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood," in Matthew 27 and verse number 4. It was Pilate that testified, "I found no fault in Him," three different times. In John chapters 18 and 19, it was Pilate's wife. And Pilate's wife is only mentioned once in the Word of God. Pilate's wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Matthew 27 and verse number 19. And then we find this thief here in Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 42. Here we find this thief spoke about the sinlessness of Christ. Oh yes, we find this thief here bears witness to Christ's excellency. To Christ's excellency. My friend, in John chapter number 8, we find Jesus Christ speaking to a crowd of Pharisees. And in verse number 46, the Lord Jesus asked them a question. He said, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" Now listen, my friend, this thief here, in verses 40 through 42, did not hear Christ ask that question. But he can answer that question. He can answer that question. Because here we find that this thief spoke about the sinlessness of Christ. Listen, my friend, here is Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Calvary. We find that God Almighty opened the eyes of this thief to see the faultlessness, the faultlessness of His beloved Son, that being Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ is the Son on which all the telescopes of time have failed to find a flaw. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the Son on which all the telescopes of time have failed to find a flaw. In closing, today I want to show this. Here in Luke chapter 23, in verses 40 through 42, this criminal is called a thief. He is called a thief in Matthew 27:44. Now, my friend, listen, sometimes a thief is one that traffics or deals with gems, diamonds, jewels, or precious stones. My friend, a thief who knows his business well can readily tell the difference between a true genuine gem and a false holy gem. Many times a thief is one who looks at gems or jewels to find out the true value. Many times a thief is one who looks at gems or jewels to see if he can find a blemish or a flaw. Here is a thief who may have dealt with many gems. Here is a thief who may have dealt with many jewels or precious stones. It may have been that he had looked at many precious stones to see if he could find a flaw. I don't know whether he did or not. But one thing I do know that this thief, while on the cross, recognized that Jesus Christ was the gem from the glory land in whom there was no spark, no blemish, no flaw. Jesus Christ is perfect. He was perfect God. He was perfect man. He was the God-man. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost and on your way to hell. Right now, bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you, and He will, and you'll know it. Thank you.
I have heard how He saved me.